Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is Jeff Flournoy. Jeff is the founder, president, and CEO of ETA Logistics. Since founding ETA Logistics in 1998, Jeff and his team have been providing high-net-worth families, corporate executives, celebrities, and athletes with the unique ability to work and travel seamlessly in high-risk environments. The company focuses on servicing a very discerning group of clients in and around major corporate, social, and sporting events. As examples of services provided by ETA, the company has helped clients travel to venues like the Summer and Winter Olympics, World Cup Soccer, Formula One Racing, NASCAR, the Super Bowl, New Year's Eve in Times Square, Grammy Awards, Country Music Awards, and many more. Prior to starting ETA, Jeff managed the security and logistics for a small portfolio of high net worth travelers, including celebrities, corporate executives, and their families. Jeff brings over 20 years of experience in security and logistics, having managed over 500 multi-level events. He and his wife have two lovely daughters and reside in Orlando, Florida. Welcome to the studio, Jeff. It's truly an honor to have you here today.
Thank you very much.
Terrific. I guess the first thing I'd like to say is all those events you go to, you get to go to all those events?
You know, we're really blessed. I get to, these days I get to pick and choose, so I get to pick the ones that are really fun, and, and the other guys get to do the majority of them, but yeah, we get to do some really fun things.
That's terrific. Well, everybody is interested in knowing about your organization a little bit more. The people that listen to these podcasts are leaders like you, and they're always trying to get insights about the situations other leaders are in and what they do right, what they do wrong, what they suggest that you not do, and where it goes from there. So would you tell us a little bit about your organization and how it fits together?
Sure. I can probably tell you the last part of that, the things not to do more than the things to do. Lessons learned the hard way, I think. Our organization started in 1998. I came out of, I'm now 51 years old. I was about 32 at the time, just before starting the business. And I came from a very kind of challenging lifestyle. I was the prodigal son, if you will, the way I grew up. And I started this business prior to dealing with some of the issues in my life that had accumulated over 30 years of running away from the Lord. And started a business that you can see just by the things you described that's full of worldly things, materials, objects, all the things that people would say will make you happy. And quite frankly, when I started the business, I was chasing those things as well. And it was a couple situations that happened over the first few years in business, along with me kind of coming back to the Lord, that changed my entire perspective around running business and the way we do things at ETA Logistics.
One of the things you talk about is what you do versus who you are. How does that theme fit into the culture of your company?
Well, as I mentioned, a couple years into starting the business, and we were kind of up and running. I was a young entrepreneur. I didn't have two nickels to rub together. Quite frankly, I drove a little blue Toyota pickup truck, and I had decided to try to get more healthy and to break some addictive behaviors that I had had for many years. And so I started to see a counselor in the Orlando area, and I wanted to see him just about particularly these issues. I really didn't have any interest in talking about my life as a whole. I just wanted him to fix this piece of my life so that I could move past it. Mm-hmm. And so we'd focus there, but the joke of it is I would drive that little blue pickup truck, I would wear my one suit that I owned at the time, and I would park two blocks from his office, and I would walk there because I didn't want him to see what I drove. I wanted him to think that I was this uber-successful entrepreneur that was just there to fix that one problem.
Okay.
And of course, being a good psychologist that he was, he figured that out very quickly. And one day, he asked me the question that pushed my button. He said, "Jeff, what is it that you do?" And he was a big sports fan, and I thought, well, this is a great opportunity to get the focus off of the really tough stuff, and I love to talk about what I do. So I said to him, "Oh, you wouldn't believe what I do." And he kind of reeled me in, if you will. He had set the hook, and he was reeling me in, and he said, "So tell me." And I said, "Well, let me give you an example." I said, We were just at the Brickyard Race, which is the NASCAR version of the Indy 500 in Indianapolis. And I said, we were just there. My job is at the end of the race to get everybody out safely and seamlessly. So the drivers are depending on me. I have helicopters waiting. I have golf carts waiting. I have police escorts waiting. And it's almost like the race begins when the checkered flag goes down. They are rushing to get to us to manage them, to get them out. And he's like, oh, that's incredible. So tell me more. And so I continued and I said, you know, you can picture it. There's people clamoring at the fence for autographs. And at the time, Jeremy Mayfield was a driver in NASCAR, and he was at the pinnacle of his career. So people were asking for his autograph. And I said, so I got to rush over. I grabbed a hat and I ran it over to Jeremy, got his signature, and I handed it back to this young lady as I put him in the car and sent him off on his police escort. And he said, oh, okay. Jeff, I think I get it. I think I finally understand what it is you do. And I said, yeah, really? And he said, you're Jeremy Mayfield's pin carrier. And that was about the reaction that you had. There was just a long silence as I was stunned like a brick to the head. I said, what did you say? And he said, I get it. And he repeated himself. He said, you're Jeremy Mayfield's pin carrier. And I quite frankly, if I didn't like him very much, you know, I thought I might choke him out. But I went. He went on to explain that, and he said, Jeff, what it seems you're doing is defining who you are and who God created you to be by what you do, not by who he created you to be. And he got me for the next 4 or 5 months to really dive into what we would call my who-ness and not my what-ness. Who-ness being the things that I want to be on the way to getting where I want to be.
You have a interesting story to tell. And it has to do with one of your engagements and having to do with who-ness and around the flood area in New Orleans.
Yeah, that was an incredible time. That was back when Hurricane Katrina, you know, hit New Orleans. Like everybody else, I'm watching Jim Cantore on the Weather Channel, you know, get blown away. And we weren't in the rescue business. We still are not. But all of a sudden, our phone began to ring because people knew we had helicopter assets throughout the country. And so clients of ours began to call us, and the phones rang, and we began to send helicopter assets from as far as Pennsylvania and Chicago and California toward the Gulf Coast. But I got a one call from Scott Ford's office. Scott was the CEO of Altel at the time, a mm-hmm. publicly traded company. And his assistant was a former military guy, and he called and said, hey, Scott would like you to be in Little Rock tomorrow and bring a helicopter. And so I said, well, can you ask Scott what the mission is? And he said, I'll call you back. And so about an hour later, he called me back, and I said, what did he say? And he said he would see you tomorrow. And I said, okay. So we were off to Little Rock, and I sent a helicopter to meet us from Chicago, and didn't really know why I was going, because I was just going to take up a seat and be capacity. Nobody else had asked me to come along. But when we got to Little Rock, I was stunned by the response that Altel had at the time that was different than our other clients. Mm-hmm. Quite frankly, other clients were looking at infrastructure, cell towers, pipelines, newspapers. This client was talking about their people. Scott had sent out an email to the entire company that said, we have 242 families that have been displaced by the hurricane. Your job as a company is to find them, secure them, and spend whatever it takes to have them back by Monday, and that's the mission. And we were part of that mission, and I got to watch it unfold. You never see this stuff in the news. I don't ever think I've seen this story in the news, but Scott went on to deploy his entire jet fleet to New Orleans to grab passengers, bring them back to Little Rock where necessary. They had 50 host families, volunteers ready to go to take people in. They put somewhere near $1 million into a private account and gave access to his executives to be able to do what they wanted.
So that sounds like a pretty caring mission as opposed to a profit-driven mission. And we have a feature called Sunday to Monday on every podcast. Mm-hmm. And Sunday to Monday has to do with something that you might hear on a Sunday that you can take into your work week and apply it during that week and maybe the rest of your business life. And what comes to mind as you talk about this has to do with Matthew 15, verses 3 through 7. and it has to do with the parable of the lost sheep, and where it says that suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go out after the lost sheep until he finds it? Does that relate to this kind of a motive?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it specifically relates to this story because if I remind you that 2 years into my company, I was struggling with my own identity. Could I stay in this business with the weaknesses and propensities that I had and be around high net worth people in high energy environments? And what I watched is after the following Monday, when we had secured all the families, we were in a boardroom, literally a convention center at the Hyatt Hotel in Little Rock. And Scott walked to the front of the room and he said, you know, we've broken a few rules at Alltel in the last few days, and today I think I'll break one more. And we all stood and watched in wonder as he pulled his Bible from his pocket and he read that exact scripture, word for word. And he pointed to the last family that we pulled out by helicopter and he said, you were our lost sheep and we weren't going anywhere until we got you home.
It leads me to think about other ways people are lost in organizations. And this is a real parallel because you're really going out to bring somebody back who might be lost in a flood zone. What are your thoughts about how somebody might be lost in different ways in organizations and you need to go after them to bring them back to the flock?
It's interesting because what changed for me in that perspective was as I stood and watched Scott Ford, I realized that he was doing ministry work within his vocation. I mean, if you go all the way back to Adam in Genesis, he didn't have a church to attend. He had a garden to tend, and his ministry was his work. Mm-hmm. And I watched Scott in that environment. And my wife would tell you that when I came home from that trip, it totally changed my perspective moving forward with ETA. Because we put ourselves day in and day out around high net worth people that have a lot of airspeed and no direction, if you will. They think they're filling up that hole in their life with stuff. But all of them on some occasion will deal with life. They'll deal with death in the family. They'll deal with an illness. They'll deal with things that they didn't expect. And that's our opportunity as believers to be around them and in close proximity to them, that quite frankly, when all the yes men that have surrounded them in the past disappear in those moments, we can step into that void. And we've had some amazing opportunities over the years to be able to witness to people.
And I'm thinking, too, about some of the business principles that might apply in an organization and some of the principles of training people and watching their progress. And if people are falling behind, one sheep is lost in terms of what to do, you go back and try to pull that particular sheep back into the environment. So it may not be as dramatic as the original example, but people feel lost in a lot of different ways. And as a business leader, you can help pull those people back into the flock as well. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. We had to create an environment, actually, in our work environment for us, as we're predominantly males because we share hotel rooms everywhere we go. We are in very close proximity to one another, so we want to be above reproach. We are in, again, challenging environments. We do a lot of business in Las Vegas, for instance. I don't want people's wives, fiancés, girlfriends, or significant others to have to worry about their spouse or better half whenever they're traveling with us. So we have intentionally created an environment at ETA where we shore each other up and we make sure nobody wanders off and gets lost in those moments.
I went to your website, and for those that are interested, it's etalogistics.com. And it's actually very interesting. And as you have listened to this podcast, you can go back and maybe put some other features together from this company that make sense to you and are helpful in terms of learning. But one of the things that's there is the mission statement. And there are four major factors to your mission statement as listed. And the fourth one says, and most importantly, honor God in all that we do. Tell us all about that particular facet of your mission.
I'd like to tell you that that's always successful, but quite frankly, business challenges your who-ness against your whatness on all levels as you try to grow and develop. So one example of the challenge in that, because that is our goal, that is our mission. But sometimes you find yourself in conflict. For instance, just in the last several years, we had one of our largest clients that really was the anchor point to our business.
So when you think about honoring God, you were prepared to do something, and you've been given skills and abilities, and by using those skills and abilities to try to move forward in a progressive way in an organization, you're honoring God. And all that you do in some way or another can honor God as a leader. I think that's very profound. I'm pleased to see that in your mission statement.
Thank you.
Okay. One of the other things that I would like to get at here, and we'll start with a conversation, and it has to do with a pearl of wisdom. And the pearl of wisdom is usually the last feature in a podcast. And the pearl of wisdom is kind of the final thought that you would like to leave for people, something that maybe encapsulates everything that you've been talking about, or maybe it's something completely different. And in your mind, what would that pearl of wisdom be?
Well, as I go back to that story of who-ness versus what-ness, I encourage everyone to get some time. Most of us, most business leaders are kind of type A individuals who have made goals. They're goal setters, if you will. What we tend to focus our goals is on our what-ness goals. I want to build a business. I want to increase by some level, have more offices, whatever that might be. I would encourage business leaders to spend some time with the Lord and really dive into their who-ness goals, to really lay out on paper in great detail, this is the kind of man I want to be. I want to be a man of integrity. I want to be a father of this type. I always want to be a learner. I want to be a humble servant. I want to be a tither. I want to be involved in ministry. Whatever that might be, just list those things in great detail and then keep them as the filter by which you make the decisions towards your whatness. And by doing so, I think you'll be challenged in great ways and unexpected ways.
I have to tell you a brief story. I teach a course called Godly Wisdom in Business. And I was so moved by what you had to say with who-ness and what-ness that in the last class that I had an exercise where I asked everybody to list what they do and on a piece of paper. And it was very easy for them to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. These are the steps I take. These are the things I do. This is what I do. I said, okay, now draw a line, divide the page in half, and now tell me who you are. And the first comment was, can you explain that? And people don't think a lot about who they are. And the notion that if you don't think about who you are, you'll never become who you want to be. Mm. And all of the characteristics that you talked about, how to handle pride, how to deal with anger, your responsibility, all the things that you would like to be in terms of your person are there. And once the job is finished, or you cancel out that, maybe you're retired, maybe you go on to another kind of a circumstance, you take who you are with you. And that who becomes the real principle and tool in driving your success.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think I'll give you an example. I was at Fort Bragg not too long ago. A friend, I use that loosely because he was an acquaintance more than anything, passed away from being killed in Afghanistan. And I sat in the chapel at Fort Bragg and I watched the family pour in and I watched all his fellow comrades in arms pour in. And these were all hardened men, you could tell. Mm-hmm. Tough men, very good at their whatness. And I watched his father stand at the podium in the front of the room. And for the first time, because he lived a very secret lifestyle because of what he did, his father read the details of his whatness, all the amazing camps he had been to, training he had done, deployments he had had. And he said through his tears, I knew my son was special, but I didn't know he had done all these things because he couldn't tell me. But I can tell you that while I watched his wife and children sitting on a chair there watching, looking at the casket and crying, I realized very quickly that they didn't care much about his whatness. They wanted their daddy's who-ness. They wanted his hugs and his love and his special words. And it was those things that he'll be remembered by.
Awesome story. And I think we can all say, too, that we are interested in the who-ness of the leaders that lead us. And those are the things that we're also hoping that we're able to gather. I'm sorry, Jeff, but we're out of time. The 20 minutes goes by quickly. I want to thank you so much for being here today. Listeners can contact Jeff with his email address, jflournoy@etalogistics. And let me spell his last name. It's FLOURNOY. And that's at ETA Logistics. Thanks to all of you for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. See you next Wednesday. In the meantime, I hear you're chasing. Keep chasing. God bless.